here. Parakhov Pasuk Yud Ches says the following over here. There's a lot that we're going into. Right? So Yonason said to him, tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. You're going to be missed because your seat is going to be empty. The Kliyakar says that the assembly is going to be poorer because you're not with us. It says, Nifgarata, you're going to be missed. That's what the Kliyakar says over here. The Tfarah Shlomo says that Dovin HaMelech is like the moon, and Rosh Chodesh, right? The idea is, that's why we say Dovin HaMelech in Kiddush Levana, Dovin HaMelech Yisrael Chavikai, we say during Kiddush Levana, he waxed and wanes like the moon. So he has some sheiches to this over here, Machar Chodesh regarding Dovin Vishilashta. On the third day, Tirid Ma'od, it's going to be really bad. Vasol HaMakom Asher Nistartasham, you're going to go to the place where you hid, Biyom HaMaisa, on the day of the deed itself, Yashavte Yitzel Evan HaOzel. I want you to stand right by the marker stone that's right over there. The idea is, unfortunately, said it the wrong way, Tered Ma'od, you're going to go down very much. He didn't mean to say it that way. He meant go down the slope. But the line in the Navi itself means you're going to see that in the end, you're going to have to go down. It's going to be very, very further, very, very bad for you. But that's that. Some say that the word Vishilashta is mark it three times. Don't trust that you know exactly where it is. Mark it three times so you know exactly where you're supposed to go, where you're going to hide, so that we all have it together, and that's that. Okay, the Radak says that right over here, it says, Biyom HaMa'asa, over here, the day of the deed itself, is sort of like a euphemism, because the truth is, they did no work on Rosh Chodesh. It used to be that only the women didn't do work on Rosh Chodesh, but in those times, nobody did work on Rosh Chodesh. They kept it as a really holy day, in which everybody kept it very, very similarly on that day. So they called it the Yom HaMa'aseh. They called it the Yom HaMa'aseh is a euphemistic way of saying such a thing. It could also be that I'm going to see you on the Yom HaMa'aseh, which means, really, I won't see you until the day after Rosh Chodesh, the first day of work after over there. Okay, that's the idea. Now, this is a very, very strange thing that we have to understand. We've done this, you know, this is our third time through over here, but this is such a strange thing. I don't remember having a good answer for this at all. I think I have an answer now, but I'm not positive I totally get it. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it. I'm going to shoot three arrows to the side of it. L'shalach li l'matara, as if I was shooting at a target, as if it was going over there. The Radak says that the three arrows were just symbolic of the 3 days that Dovin HaMelech was going to hide, which is strange, but okay, at least you have that. The Malbim says, right, by saying this as sort of such a way, he was saving Dovin HaMelech's life. There would be no isser of Lashon Hara. Yonason didn't want to be over on any issue of Lashon Hara whatsoever, even about his father, even if he wanted to. So the arrows were going to be the sign, said he wouldn't have to say anything. It would be known whether or not it was a bad thing or a good thing. And therefore, the three arrows represent the three forked tongue, that Lashon Hara kills the teller, the one who hears it, and the one that it's about. So in order to make sure that he's not speaking Lashon Hara, he specifically went ahead and shot three arrows, and that would be the sign as to what Dovin HaMelech would know. Now, that's okay.
That's a nice drasha.
Yeah, it's okay. It's the Malbim, you know, so it's okay. There is a Likutei Sichos here who says that there's a Kabbalistic explanation to these three arrows, but again, that was beyond my understanding, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to look at this. From Nachman Mibraslov, but I didn't want to look at that. Now, in Pasuk Chaval, we're going to get a little more down. I'm going to send out the kid. I'm going to say, go find the arrows. If I tell the kid, that look, the arrows are on this side of you, meaning closer to me, then you should grab them and come. Then everything is peaceful. You don't have to worry about it whatsoever. So if I'm basically telling the kid, come toward me, what I really mean to say is to you, right, I want you to go ahead. Even you should take the arrow and come, or whatever it is, right? Or befitting of a king, I'll send the nar to you so that the nar will be able to take you. You'll be able to come. But again, he didn't want to speak. I mean, Lashon Hara, he didn't want to say anything, so he sent out the arrows for that reason. But if I say to the young man, the arrows are further than you, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you away, then you should go as soon as you can. That matter of which we spoke about between me and you, the fact that I'm going to take care of your family, you're going to take care of my family, HaKadosh Baruch Hu between me and you forever and ever. And that's the idea behind it, that'll be over there. Now, it is interesting. He went from Nar in Pasuk Chavaleth to Elam in Pasuk Chav Beis. So why did he switch over here? So it could be that, again, it's Ne'elam, and that the real wording over here is that something is going to be hidden. It could be that if there's danger, then I want you to remain hidden. remain as an elem, to be unknown to everyone around so that nothing is there. That could be what he was trying to say over there. Okay, Pasuk of Dalabi, so Sir David Vasada. David hid in the field. Vayechodesh, it was a new moon. Vayeshav Melechat Lachol. And the king sat down to eat. Vayeshav Melechat Moshev, he sat in his normal spot, Kivapamam, like he always did. El Moshev Akir, right by the wall itself. Vayakam Yehonasan, Vayeshav Abner Mitzad Shol, Vayepakim Akum David. Yehonasan got up. And Abner was on one side of the king, and on the other side should have been David HaMelech itself. It seems like they sat in a semicircle, and that's what it means, his back was to the wall. That his back was to the wall, and they all sat out like that, going all around over there. So he was able to see, the king was able to see everyone that was sitting at the table, everybody was in one place over there. The order of seating seemed to be that David HaMelech was on Shaul HaMelech's immediate right, Yonasan at David's right, and Avner on the king's left.
Why would Yonasan not be closer to Shaul?
I think because when reclining, and I'm not positive this is true, but I've seen this before, when you're reclining, and the way that the king was sitting, it seems like that the person that was sitting right next to you, it was improper for him to be sitting. In order for the king to talk to him, he'd have to move his body a little bit to talk to him. So If Yehonasan was sitting there, it was easier for him to sit next to Avner and Avner to talk with him. It was harder for him to talk to the next person, and David therefore was the least, less chashuv. And Yehonasan, since he would often have conversation with, just being a little bit further would make it easier for him to sit.
Where is the seating chart
brought down? It brought down from Rashi. Rashi says that the order of seating and how it goes through. So maybe that's what happened over there, and that's the reason why David Amelech's place is empty. Yeah, so I think that's the idea behind it, and I've seen this before. It's just a little bit strange. It's not the way we think of it, where you go to the side at the table, you're leaning on the table. So clearly there was a problem in which it might have been this was the right side. So you had to turn that way to see it. But if Yonasan was right there, then Shaul could just look ahead and see Yonasan. Maybe that was why. I'm not sure. Either way, Shaul said nothing on that day because he said, listen, this happened. He's not Torah because he's not Torah, which is a strange line in and of itself. He's not Torah because he's not Torah, right? So what does that mean exactly here, Ellie? So grab this. So it's a strange line over here, but the characteristic was right over here. He didn't believe that David HaMelech was a Tahor person. He thought that he was a Tameh person. So the fact that he's not Tahor and couldn't come to the meal is because he's not a Tahor person. Because he's a person who's just not there. But Chazal do learn something over here, that when speaking in a negative term, always speak in a way in which it's positive, euphemistically in some way, or in a way where you even add on words, but as long as you're not saying the word Tameh, that you say it in such a fashion. Now, what does that mean exactly? It means don't worry about when you're trying to explain yourself and you're trying to tell somebody something, of course you use every word you need to in order to explain the matter. And that's not a problem whatsoever. That's why the Torah obviously uses the word Tameh quite often, right? And it'll say words that might be unclean, but it'll say it in that way. But when you're saying to yourself, when you're speaking to yourself and you don't need to, then it's sometimes better to say the word not Torah. In other words, one time I was speaking and I said, there are people here who are younger and people here who are even younger. You get the idea? The idea is to keep people in the same, to keep them a little bit around there. So it's the same basic idea of to keep it in that idea. Remember, they did eat almost everything in purity back then, in Tahor, in Tahara, in Chulin, Al-Taras HaKadosh. So Mistama, that's what it refers to over here. In Pashupshat, the word Mikra means something unforeseen came up, right? And whatever, something happened. Okay, Pasukov Zayin, Mimacharos, Chodesh Hasheni. It was the next day in the second Rosh Chodesh. Now, some say it was a two-day Rosh Chodesh, meaning they used to keep 2 days Rosh Chodesh just in case. And the reason why is because
But what was there to keep?
Meaning if Rosh Chodesh did not happen to be, if Adam didn't come.
What was there to keep?
Oh,
there was
they had it as holidays back then. The same way that women are supposed to have it. It mamish was.
But they weren't doing malacha.
Well, they did korbanos, right? And some of them didn't even do malacha.
The musaf only was brought once they had
Adam. Once they knew. That's correct.
So if they kept the first day, they didn't bring this korbanos.
The first day, the meal might have been earlier. And that's why. Maybe they kept the meal earlier and they did that. But I don't know. But they did keep it as 2 days, similar to what we have Rosh Hashanah.
Dinner or something, or a meal or something. It wasn't like they had a yom. They weren't not doing malacha.
It's a very strange thing because we don't keep it at all. But the Bnei Yisrael talks about it a lot, how he feels that one of the worst things that happened to us is that we stopped keeping Rosh Chodesh as a chag. Bnei Yisrael Sefer taught you, it's a crazy idea.
Take off another day or two of work every single month in addition to everything else.
First of all, not a problem. But seriously, it is a strange thing. You're right. You're 100% right. What a strange thing that they kept Rosh Chodesh as this mamish,
for all the holidays, imagine.
Yeah, can you imagine? Well, isn't that, it's not that, it was, Shehi Pehi, when Haman said over the Tainas, it's Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom, there's a pshat somewhere that Rosh Chodesh Hayom is Chodesh Hayom, that it was Chehi or something like that. That there was a, I forgot who said it, but they also took off Rosh Chodesh as well. They had so many days that they took off, it was just hard. Okay, but you, yeah. One of the so it's possible. It just seems unlikely that that was the day that Yehonas and David Melech had decided this was our day. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would they have chosen that day over any other day? So, of course, that's possible. It's a very good possibility. Just strange. You wouldn't have assumed that if you would have said something. But that's it. So he says, the other way of looking at it, by the way, is that it wasn't that month. It was the next month. Mimachoros is not the next day. It was the next possibility by Chodesh Hasheni, the second month. Mm. That's the other idea.
So Yehonas is hiding for a month straight?
Well, if we would go with the 3 days that we talked about before, Vishilashta means 3 days, then clearly this is not it. If Vishilashta means mark the spot so you know, then yeah, it might have been a full month where he was hiding, and he may have had food and whatever it was, but he was hiding for that long. Vayipakid Mokom David, again, the place of David was missing. Vayomer Sholo, Yehonas Ambino, he said to Yehonas and his son, Madulo Bambam Yisha, Gam Tumokam Yom Alechem. I don't understand. Why didn't he come last time and this time?
Like for sure, 3 days.
Yeah, for sure. But why wouldn't it be that way, right? Now, there is a drush. Reb Mendel of Kasov used to say, the Kasov Rebbe used to say, that the pshat behind this is, why is Mashiach not here? Why is Mashiach not here? He should have come already, right? Gam Tmol Gam Ayom, right? What's going on? He should have been here already. Oh, finally he came in. That's it. That's perfect, right? Why didn't he come over here? And that's the Ben Yishai. Why is Ben Yishai not here? And he said, El Halechem. Because people have too much Gashmias. People are into too much, see, exactly. Too much Gashmias, that's why Mashiach isn't here. That's the answer that he gave, El Gashmias. So that's that itself. The Psikta Rabasi says, it's not even David HaMelech over here. Did you notice? It's Ben Yishai. Why is Ben Yishai not here? Because again, he's only chashuv because of his father. He forgot about David HaMelech. He's there. The Kli Yakar talks
what
about
Gashmias
that.
Is being referenced.
Oh, you just mean it's like a drush, you know? There's that going on. Vayan Yonasan the Shol Nishol Nishol David Miim Adi Ad Beis Lechem. Listen, Yonasan answered Shol, and he said David HaMelech had asked me before if he can go to Beis Lechem. Vayomer Shol Chenino, he said, send me away, please. Kizev Mishpachah Lano Beir. We have a normal korban for our family in the city. Vuhutziva Liachi, and my brother commanded me to go. Vatayim Matzasi Chiminechav. I find favor in your eyes. He asked me, Yonasan said, Imaltan of Arazachay. I want to hurry away and go see my brothers. Al King Lo Baal Shulchan HaMelech, and that's why he didn't come to the king itself. Right? Now, notice the line, Nish'ol Nish'al. He should have said, Sha'ol Sha'al. But he didn't want to say that because it sounded too much like his father's name. So it's already pointed out from the Amloes that he didn't want to say anything that might have sounded like Sha'ol HaMelech's name, his own father's name. That's an interesting one, right? The other thing is that Eliyav had made the request, and that's why it's Nishol Nishal. He was asked. There's no rebellious intentions. He just said, can I go? Do you mind if I go when it comes to this? Sha'ol got extremely angry at Ben Nava Samardus, you son who is evil as well as rebellious. He says, I know that you have chosen Ben Yishai as your king to your own embarrassment and to the embarrassment of the erva of your mother. He looked at his son and he said the following. He said, it must be that your mother has taught you these traits. If you'll remember, Shaul HaMelech was the one who did not want to go for a wife. He was one of the people of Binyamin that was saved by Pelegish Begiva. According to that Medrash, he was saved by Pelegish Begiva. And they went for the wives in the fields. Remember, the girls were in the fields, and they chose their own wives. They all ran after them. 200 men of Shaul went to go find their wives. The only one that didn't run after them, the woman ran after him, was Shaul HaMelech's wife. Shaul HaMelech's wife went after him and caught him and forced him to marry her. And because of that, he said, it's Lavoshes Imecha. Your mother went out and tried to find somebody for herself, and you are trying to find somebody for yourself. You're grabbing somebody right over here. And because of that, maybe he was even saying, your mother never disciplined you when you were a child, and now look, you're a rebellious child of a rebellious mother. Look at who you are right now. That's the idea behind it. So that's a possibility of what it had been, one of the two over there. Chas v'shalom, he might have even been saying, I don't even know if you're my kid. Maybe that's the reason why you don't want to become king, because I don't think you're actually my kid. Perhaps you're a rebellious person, somebody who had rebelled against his mother. In other words, your mother had rebelled against me, had been together with another person, and therefore you're his child and not mine, and that's the reason why. So that's the boshtecha that's embarrassing you, and boshesimecha, and that's the reason why you're doing it over there. That's the concept over here. The Rashi says, when Yonasan's mother chose Shaul HaMelech, as opposed to the other way around, it was the first time that Binyamin had been chosen back into the community, where people were willing to take them back. And because that had happened, Shlomo HaMelech said, see, Binyamin is brought back. But if you're not allowing yourself to be king, you're bringing us back to the days before when everybody hated us. Because what happened in Pilegish Begiva, you can't let that happen.
Is he accusing Yonasan of being more of a Malchus or like a Ben Sora more? Like that?
Both. That he's rebelling against his own father and rebelling against the king. There is another pshat. Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel says he was not talking about Yonasan. He was talking about David. David is a ben navas amardus. He's a rebellious, wayward person. And that's the person referring to over here.
Well, that makes more sense with the whole story of Yishai.
Right, of what he was trying to say and how he was trying to say it. It seems weird over here. Either way, regardless, there's no question he was extremely upset at...
People that, like, Yishai never sinned and, like...
100%.
Yeah. I mean, this is...
He knows Yishai. He hasn't said anything bad about Yishai. He's only talking about David HaMelech himself. And again, inside of his craziness, Shaul HaMelech had his craziest times. There were times where he was crazy. This part of the crazy times. Literally crazy. Literally, according to the Ralbag, he was frothing at the mouth while talking about David HaMelech, which is strange. But Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ki Kol Yomer Shabin Yishai Chai El Adama, all the days that Ben Yishai is alive on the world, Lo Sikon Atom Malchusecha, your kingdom, and you will not be safe. You're going to be dead. Who do you think he's going to take out first? Now, bring him to me. He's a person who deserves to die. That's what he said over here, and that's the line over here. Now, there's a strange line over here in Pasuk Lamed Beis. Yonasan answered Shaul's father, Yomai Love. Why should he die? What did he do wrong? Shaul then took the spear to hit him. Remember the spear that he used to throw at David HaMelech twice? He took it to hit him. And then Yonasan knew it was done. His father had decided to kill David HaMelech. He knew that it was absolute and that's there. There is a halacha that we actually learn from this pasuk. How far do you have to go to give rebuke to your fellow man? How far do you have to go in order to give musr to somebody else? The halacha is actually learned out from over here. You have to go until the other person is ready to hit you. You have to give musr up until that person is mamish ready to hit you. And we learn out from right over here. You are, it's, the line is that he said it, even though he knew how angry his father was. And he still said, lama yumas ma'asa. He didn't do anything.
He was trying to save someone's life. He wasn't really trying to give him musr. It goes beyond just giving musr.
I think it's part of it. He's not saving somebody's life right then. He was saying to his father, you're doing something wrong. You're wrong about this. And the nicest way possible, because it is the king, but he was saying it straight out to him. Not saving his life because David HaMelech's not there. Right? He said, like, how in the world can you do it? But not only that, it's possible you have to do it even when you're screamed at as well. Because you just screamed at him. He was called Ben Navas Amardus, and he still went ahead and did it. He was still required to do it. Some say we don't learn it from here, because Yonasan went beyond the ordinary, beyond Lifnei Mishur HaZadin and how he gave Musa to his father. And he might not have, shouldn't have done it in that way because of what happened. Yeah, what are you going to say?
Another shot on the three we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is the third time that David has been
the spear
threatened with life.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just three times. Because we're gonna add on a bunch.
But not up until this.
Okay,
point.
I hear you. Yeah, we're gonna add on another four times,
of course,
I believe.
But
yeah.
No, but that he's goes tried through. Directly and now this is the
very, very good. Right, and it was that. That's that. So Arachin Tazayin Abay says, did he really want to kill his son? When he took the spear and threw it at him, was he mamish trying to kill him? Right? What was he doing? And remember, he had a shvua. Shaul had sworn that he wasn't gonna kill David. So what happened? So the Gemara in Arachin says, he took a shvua. He matured it from Basin. No, he matured it. He matured it from Basin. He matured it in front of a Basin, and that's that. Jonas, and also the Kli Yakar says, that he was rational at this moment. He saw he was rational. This was not a crazy time. He wasn't totally crazy at this moment. That's when he knew something was really bad, right? And then he said he wanted to strike him, but not kill him. According to the Gemara, he wanted to strike him, not kill him. David was a rebel, a real rebel in Chai Misa. Jonas was just a party to that. He wanted to strike him to realize that it was right there, and that's that. Yohonasan got up, and he was extremely angry. Jonas's anger was not at his father. His father is... There's a strange thing over here. But he was extremely upset at everyone else at the table who wasn't sticking up for David HaMelech. When he got up and he said, Lama Yumas Ma'asa, he turned to Avner, who was sitting on the other side of Shaul HaMelech, and said, what did he do? Why are you letting the king do this? He wasn't yelling at his father. He was yelling at everyone else around, saying, where are you guys in all this? I'm sorry?
You can't letting tell the king do that. He's the king.
Meaning because he's the king itself?
Yeah, he'd kill everybody in the room. He doesn't need a reason.
Okay, so hold on a second. Do you remember what we just did a couple prakim ago when he was feeling melancholy and he felt sad? And the people went up to him and said, you look horrible. The imams went up to him and said, you look horrible. Go find a singer. Right? Somebody's out there. Why? Why is that different?
He made a
proclamation.
Statement, and now you're going to go against that?
And no one knows what he did, and it's his son-in-law. What in the world did he do? At some point, somebody's got to stand up. But we're going to see it by Novira Quantum. We're going to see it by Novira Quantum as well.
No, not by a king.
But there has to be. We're going to see it by Novira Quantum. They refuse. He tells them to kill Novira Quantum, and they say no. They say no. They say no.
Not one. Whose Shaul has already determined has been yeah,
but
more
nobody knows why. It's the same thing. Why does Novira Quantum deserve to die? Because there were parties to Dovin HaMelech?
Exactly.
Okay, but then they should
that's
die.
That's why Yehonasan should die.
But then Avner should go up and do it.
Finally found the so,
but that's the problem. The problem is that there is somewhat of a hypocrisy here where they're going up and they're saying, well, this guy should die, and they're like, we're fine with that. And then the other guy, they're like, eh, whatever. It's a strange
also a
thing.
To the kingdom too.
But they knew that.
It was
they
a
knew
to
that.
Their jobs.
But they knew that. They all knew what. By this time, everybody knew what Shmuel and Avi had said. They knew that somebody was anointed. They had to have known that Shmuel and Avi had already anointed David HaMelech. And that's why Shaul HaMelech was going so crazy. I'm shocked if Yehonasan wasn't telling everybody this. Yehonasan was going around telling people. So the fact that everybody was sticking up or staying quiet in this case, it's strange. Now, maybe, to be Melamed Tzchus on everybody there, maybe Avner, if Avner was right there and Shaul HaMelech would have told him, go kill David, maybe Avner would have said, no, I'm not doing it. Maybe he would have done that, right? Maybe it would only been a doughy goadomi would have done that. I don't know. But that's why Yehonasan was going up there. He turned to everybody and he said that. How could he do such a thing? Okay. He got up angrily. He did not eat any bread on that day of Rosh Chodesh. He was so sad about David HaMelech and his father had shamed him. Some say that he shamed David. Some say that he shamed him himself, right? It obviously was both of them were over there. The Ralbach says it's both. He was saddened over what his father outwardly did to him, but he saddened inwardly over what was happened by David HaMelech over there, but he couldn't eat whatsoever. That Barbanel says he wasn't mad. He was afraid. He was absolutely afraid of his father. He mamish thought his father was going to kill him. He didn't know whether the spear was just there to hurt him or whatever. He mamish thought he was going to be killed. Vayivavoka, the next morning, Yitzi Yonasan Asadi, Yonasan went out to the field, Lemoe David, to the time that David designated, and now Katonimo. He had a young lad with him. He didn't go out at night. He didn't want to arouse suspicion. Obviously, he knew that his father knew that he knew where David HaMelech was. Right? His father knew exactly where he was, and he was worried. So he went as if he was going for a walk. He didn't go alone. He took his servant, right? He went around there, and David HaMelech says that David HaMelech told him, come early in the morning so I know what to do over there. That's Eddie Vanny. Now, it would have been easier to run away at night. I think that's pretty obvious, right? But Yehonasan was too worried about what Shaul HaMelech was going to do if he went out at night. He figured this was going to be easier. Yom Elenaro, roots, run, right? Find the arrows which I shoot. Hanarots, the young lad, began to run. By the way, this is a very, very unsafe thing to do.
Is he second to the king,
Yehonasan? Yeah, for sure. Without a question.
Okay, so he had a biased interest.
The opposite. He was going for David HaMelech. Remember? He's the one that wanted David HaMelech the entire time. Right? So Hanarots, the child was running, who Yorah Hachiti La'adiro, and he shot the arrow past him. Again, this is not suggested at home. I can't believe they used to do this back then. Be'evo Narad Makom Hachiti came to the area of the arrow. Actually, Yorah Yonasan had shot. Ba'yikor Yonasan Acharei Narad. Yonasan called out after the child. Yomar Halo Hachiti Milcha V'Hala. Wait, the arrow is a little further. Right? Obviously, that was the idea. Now, hold on. Didn't he say he was going to shoot three arrows? He shot one. He didn't shoot the three arrows. So that's one thing to point out over here, right? Maybe he was only going to use the second and third arrow if the message wouldn't be clear from the first one. Since the message was clear from the first one, he was fine. Ba'ikri Yonasan Acharei Anar Mehera Chusha Al Tamod. Yonasan then called after the child. He said, quickly, hurriedly, don't stay there. Ba'ilak Anar Yonasan Asacheti. So he picked up the arrow. Ba'yavol Al Dinomni came back to Shaul HaMelech. Now Luyadamu Uma. The Nar had no idea what was going on. Ach Yonasan V'David Yadu V'Zadavra. But they both knew exactly what was going around over here. By the way, if you look, there's the Kri and the Ksiv over here regarding the word Chetzim and Chetz. Right, you see what I'm saying? It's possible there were other arrows over there, and it's sort of like we have no idea how many arrows there actually were, but there's a very, very strange thing in how it was over here. Okay, some say, and this to me makes a little bit more sense, that this is a form of Nichush. Now, although we said before that Nichush is usher and you're not allowed to do any superstition, and that we've said before, it's absolutely usher to do superstition, you can't get involved in that stuff. Some say that this was on purpose supposed to be superstition. It was done in order to see what would happen. He shot the arrow, and he wasn't sure if the arrow would go further than the young lad or go in front of him. And based on that, that's what they would decide would happen with David HaMelech, that he was relying on that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show him the sign. It is strange, but it does make a little bit more sense that he said, let's do 2 out of 3. Like, meaning 3, because 1 arrow, there's no sign. But 2 arrows, maybe you'd be able to tell a sign whether it's going to be that way or not. So that's possible to be able to go through. Vayitin Yonason is Caleb al Nahar Asher Lo. Yonason took off his stuff, and he gave it over to the Nahar that was with him. Vayomelo Lechav Yair, go bring it back to the city. Hanar Bava, David Kame Eitzel HaNegev. The child went back, and David Melech got up from where he was sitting. Vayipala Apavar, so he fell to the ground. Vayishtachu Shlosh Pam, he bowed down 3 times. Vayishku Ish Israel, they kissed each other. Vayivku Ish Israel, Ad David Higdil. They cried over each other until David Melech had cried even more so than right over here. What was the sign of the arrows then? What do you need the arrows for if you're going to see them anyway? That's the strangest thing in the world.
I think the arrows, though, gave Yonatan a reason to leave the palace without suspicion, because he's probably thinking, you know, Shaul's like, keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going with his lad. We'll just question.
Very, very good. The Malbim says exactly that, and then he wasn't going to meet David HaMelech. That was going to be the end of it. He was going to walk away, but he looked around. He saw no one around. So he said, okay, I can go and see David HaMelech myself. So he wasn't going to do it. The original plan was just the arrows. And then, what?
No, but there would be no witness.
Right, exactly. And then he saw that the Nahar was still there. He's like, you know what? Go back. I can do this on my own. And that's exactly what he did, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He called him over there, and that's that. So maybe, and he never knew. He really did not know if anybody else was going to be around or whatever it was. So the shooting was all a pretext, but he didn't need it at the end of the day. It wasn't going to be necessary over there. It's possible that David HaMelech's crying was a portending Yohanan's untimely death. Yonason's going to die at war soon, and that's the idea over here. It could be that the reason why Yonason stopped over there, right, is because David was crying exceedingly, and at that point, Yonason said, wait, we're too loud, somebody's going to hear us. And that's when he immediately said, Vayomer Yonason leDavid, Lech leShalom, go in peace. And remember, the word Lech bishalom is what you say to someone who's going to die. Lech leShalom is something that you say to someone who's going to live. Shenishpanu shneinu anachem v'shem Hashem, we have sworn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, Hashem yeh beini uvenecho v'inzari v'zorach ad ha'ilom. Hashem is going to be between me and you, between my children and your children, forever right over here. This is absolutely unbelievable. He never said a word about what Shaul HaMelech did at the table. He didn't say Shaul tried to kill me. He didn't say that what Shaul had done.
Well, he told him
nothing.
Enough by saying that
that's it. That's all he did. That's all he did. But the fact of what he went through, he didn't complain to David. He didn't say anything to David. It shows you the character of who Yohanan was, that he would not be guilty of any type of Lashon Hara whatsoever. All David HaMelech had to hear was just the idea of Lech LeShalom. That's it. That's all you have to know. And that's that. There's no chance that Shaul HaMelech is going to have a change of heart over here. And that's that. That is an unbelievable level that he put himself on. All right. Peruch HaFal, everybody. He got up and he went. Yonason went back to the city. Vayovo David Nova El Achimelech HaKohen. So David HaMelech went to the city of Nov to Achimelech the Kohen. Achimelech was extremely afraid to see David HaMelech. He had never seen David on his own. David HaMelech was in charge of an army. David HaMelech was a general. He said he couldn't understand, what in the world are you doing here? How in the world are you by yourself, and why is there no man with you over here? The only fault that Yohanan had throughout all this, with everything he did for David HaMelech, there's one major fault that he had, and Chazal, Sanhedrin, Kuftal, and I'll blame Yohanan for this. They say Yohanan is the reason why Novir HaKohanim was destroyed. Why was Yohanan to blame? He should not have sent David HaMelech away without any food. David HaMelech had been sitting there for 3 days, and yes, he had had food at some point, but the Gemara says he was starving. And when Yonason sent him away, David HaMelech had no choice but to find food that he could find anywhere possible. So when he went to Achimelech, it's right there. Now, normal people wouldn't have thought of that. Listen, I saved his life. I did everything for him up until then. That's all you think about. But Yohanan was a tremendous tzaddik and was blamed. How did you not have any accounting of how starving he was? And it was terrible
Maybe
consequences.
Because he didn't have any plans to see him, like we had discussed.
That's true. He should have made sure that there was food, enough food there in the cave, that if he's waiting for 3 days and then going on the run, he'd have food. Now, Yonason thought to himself, there's no way my father's really going to kill him. He, Mamish, was convinced that he was going to bring David HaMelech back. He wasn't worried about that. But then he should have thought of that on the third day when he brought the arrows. He should have thought at least something of what's going to be over there. Why did David HaMelech head to Nov? What a weird place to hide, isn't it? You hide in the area of the Kohen Gadol where everyone's around? It's the area of the Mishkan. Can you imagine, like, I'm being chased by the Prime Minister of Israel. I'm going to go to the Kotel first. Why would you go to the Kotel? There's cameras. There's people all around there. It's the silliest place that you could go. Why in the world did you go there? I'm sorry? It is still strange. And he got caught immediately. That's part of the problem over here. But it is obvious. He wanted to daven by the Aron Kodesh, and he wanted the opportunity to ask the Urim V'Tumim what to do. The Abarbanel says it was done on purpose. He wanted to ask the Urim V'Tumim what to do and how to be able to get around.
He's going to a place where he's known as to be an important person. He, I mean, they didn't have newspapers and stuff.
So oh, I hear what you're saying.
If he goes somewhere where, like, oh, no, I'm that guy, you know, David, you're like, okay, yeah, sure, you're by yourself. Who are you? But Achimelech knows who he is.
Achimelech knew exactly where he was. So he knew that he was going to get some mercy from him. But Yomer David Achimelech HaKohen, Hamel Sivani Davar, the king has commanded me with something. Now, it sounds like I'm a spy, right? But clearly it's not what he meant. The king has commanded to kill me. But he didn't want to say anything directly. Vayomer Eli, he said to me, Ish al yedama umas adavar asher anochi shaleichacha. No man can know about the reason why I'm sending you away. Vasher tzvisicha, that which I command you. It was an aram yodati. And as for the use, I already sent them away. Omakom ploni almoni. To a certain place. I'm on a secret mission. I'm a spy. Right? I work for the CIA and I'm trying to work for stuff. I'm trying to do stuff. What do you have under your hands? Chamisha lechem? Do you have 5 loaves of bread? Give it to me or anything else that you might have. Do you have anything for me to have when it comes to this? Now, he only asked regarding stuff like that. I'm starving, he said. I need to be able to have something there. But there was a problem. The major problem was there was nothing available on that day other than Kodesh. Remember, Nov was filled with Kohanim. They were filled with Kohanim. And the Kohanim only ate Truma, right? Or the Lechem Aponim at the end of the week. They had those types of things. They didn't have regular stuff. There was nothing regular there. And because of that, David HaMelech said, what do you have for me and my boys, right? The people that are around here, right? So Vayana Kohen is David Yomer Ein Lechem Chol. There's no mundane bread here. There's literally nothing. We don't eat that. El Tachas Yodi, that's under my hands, Kim Lechem Kodesh Yesh. I've got some holy bread. As long as the other people have been careful from being together with a woman. Now, he really meant David HaMelech, right? Are you Tamei or Tahor? But he didn't want to say that directly because it sounded bad. I don't want to ask if you've been together with a woman. I'm asking if they've been careful
like
with the people over there.
Know the answer to anyways.
Yes, so he knew, and that's that. But he wanted to make sure you're okay with that, right? Because he asked for regular bread. Sounds like he wanted bread that was, you know, because he's Tamei. To which he said, he's like, no. Are you okay with that? So there's a question what exactly this was. Was this Truma bread? Was it Lechem Aponim bread? And it was Shabbos, and they were taking the Lechem Aponim down?
Based on that response,
yeah.
it was bread that maybe it was a Shlomim bread or something, because
Toda, Lachmi Toda, you mean.
The fact that he's not with a woman would be irrelevant because he's not a Kohen.
Yeah, 100%.
So it has to be something that he could eat if he's Tahor.
If he was considered Tahor, right? So it's one of those three, but it could be that he was really also warning him, like, listen, it depends on how bad it is. The Ralbank says that at this moment, David HaMelech was sick with a disease called Bomus. His stomach was churning, and he mamish felt like he was going to die if he didn't eat anything at all. At that point, anything would have been okay. You could even take the lechem upon him off the shulchan, even during the week, in order to feed somebody who has bulmos, in order to make sure that he has enough food.
Yeah,
right? You could do that.
5 loaves?
I'm sorry?
Him enough to make
so however much he, so he was asking for 5 regular loaves. He wasn't asking for 5 loaves altogether, but he asked for anything that was there. But then the question is, what is that? So we're going to see some diukim over here, what it was over here, right? He wanted to make sure. We've been away from women for more than 3 days now. Bitsesi, once I left. But you clay in Aram Kodesh, everything that the Aram have is Kodesh, and the road that we are on is all okay. Even more so today, there will be, right? More so today, there's going to be Kodesh bread. We'll make sure that everything is going to be over there. So it sounds, again, we don't know exactly, it has already been made hold. It could be that David HaMelech was poskening something over here. Could be he was poskening something and saying, at this point, that would be whole for me to eat. That normally it wouldn't be, but that would be that. Vayitzen lo kohen kodesh. The kohen gave him holy bread. Kilo hayasham lechem, kim lechem aponim, hamusar milifnei Hashem. The only bread that they had was the lechem aponim that were given in front of Hashem, lasum lechem chom biyomi lako, that they put hot bread on the day that it was taken away. So from the pasuk itself, it seems pretty clear they took lechem aponim and gave it to David. That's very, very clear, because the word lechem aponim right over there. The way that everybody goes around, though, is that they say that they had lechem aponim is referring to the show bread that were given to the kohanim. So it could be a reference to truma, which normally you would not be allowed to take. Truma is chayiv misa bidei shamayim. But again, if he was starving, then he was allowed to have truma, and truma would be able to be eaten for him. That would be the idea behind it. it. Now, if lechem apanim bread was available, lechem apanim comes before truma, because lechem apanim, the chiyuv of eating it, is not nisa b'dei shamayim. I don't even know what it is. I think it's just me'ila, right, which you're over on a lav and whatever, while eating truma is actually misa b'dei shamayim. Eating the shlamim bread, maybe even more so, that might be chayv misa b'dei adam. That might be a difference over there as well. There's also a shaila when he came. It seems he arrived, he may have arrived on Shabbos itself. If he arrived on Shabbos, then that's when the loaves were being unloaded, taken off the shelves in order to be given to the kohanim at that moment, right? Then it was permitted because they were taking it off anyway. Okay, then comes the Medrash. The Medrash comes along and says he found them baking the lechem upon him on Shabbos. Doeg Adomi had paskened that you're allowed to bake the lechem upon him on Shabbos in order to put it fresh on the Shulchan. To which Dovin Melech looked at them and said, what are you doing? And they said, we're baking it on Shabbos because it's the lechem upon him. It has to be put on Shabbos, so you bake it on Shabbos. And Dovin Melech said, that's not true. It's that you have to set it up on Shabbos, but it has to be baked before Shabbos, paskening against Doeg Adomi and paskening that way, right? And that's when he said, since they were baked on Shabbos, he said, they can't be used as lechem upon him. Give them to me instead. Now they're whole. Now they're whole. Yeah.
We did in the Beis HaMikdash was what we learned in Lama Tesmel office.
Correct.
So those things in the Beis HaMikdash were mutter to do.
No, none of them. You couldn't do it on Shabbos. That's why he talks about Shabbos and Parshas Vayakhel before it goes into the Mishkan. It does not override. None of the malachos override Shabbos. Yeah. So therefore, it was like that. But Doeg Adomi had pasuk in a different way. And that's a strange medrash. Strange medrash. But either way, he took something. Pasuk Ches. V'sham ish me'avdei Shaul. There was a man from the servants of Shaul B'yomah who netzar lifnei Hashem. He was held back before God. What that means is that he decided to stay there for some reason. The Abarbanel says, well, we'll get to that in a second. Shmo Doeg. His name was Doeg. Ho Adomi. Abir HaRoim Asher Shaul. He was the chief of Shaul HaMelech's shepherds that were right over there. Now, the question is, what exactly was Doeg? The Medrash Shmuel and the Radak say he was the head of Sanhedrin, and because he was the head of the Sanhedrin, the Av Beis in the Sanhedrin, he quite often went to Nov to discuss things with Achimelech and the other Kohanim that were there, who were always learning Torah and always went into stuff like that. Others say that Doeg was the chief shepherd. He was in charge of the shepherd, and since he was the chief shepherd, he had all the sheep that were sent to Nov in order to sacrifice, right, the, I don't know, the Bechors and the Meiser Behemoths and whatever else they had over there, and that's that. Doeg Adomi had gone there, and he obviously, he was there because it was Shabbos, or he was there because he stayed overnight. But that's what it means by ne'etzar. He had been held back, and he couldn't leave the night before, and therefore he happened to be there at the same time. Why was he called Ho'adomi? Where does the name Ho'adomi come from? So I have 9 answers to this question. Simple answer is, he lived in the land that belonged to the Edomim. Right? That's the first answer that's given on. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says Edom was the name of the city that he came from, not the land, but the city that he came from. Reb Shmuel said Edomi is because he was jealous of the Admoni, of David HaMelech, who was red in the face. That's why. It is very interesting that Doeg and David have the same gematria. Very strange in and of itself, but Doeg and David are both the same when it comes to that. I'm sorry? Not Doeg Adomi. Achitofel was... Yes, Achitofel. Doeg Adomi was never one of his Rebbeim. Reb Abba Bar Kana says he spilled blood of the Kohanim later on, and therefore Edomi, as in he was a bloody person. Rabbi Nechemiah says it's because he allowed David HaMelech's blood to be killed. He was the one convincing Shaul HaMelech to kill David HaMelech. That's 5. 6, he is the one that convinced Shaul to spare the blood of Agag, king of Amalek, and therefore he was Adomi because he didn't spill the blood of Amalek right over there. 7, he was Ma'adim. He reddened the face of everybody with embarrassment when he would speak in Torah because he was a brilliant genius. 8, just like Edom devours the merits of Bnei Yisrael, the Chusim of Bnei Yisrael, so too Doeg Adomi devoured the merits of David HaMelech. 9, because he acted like an Edomi person. He acted with vindictiveness, right, with malice, with hatred, etc. And that's the reason why over there. Okay. Others say, and this is a strange one in of itself, knowing what we know about Doeg Adomi, the reason why he was held back is because he was studying so much and so into the learning that he was doing that he held himself back from tending to his bodily functions, and that's what it means, Na'atzar. He had to go to the washroom, but never did. According to Chazal, Doeg and Achitofel were two men who were able to teach in the towers of the heavens. What that means is the following. Every bit of Torah that we have is based on something solid. We have the Torah, We have Mishnayos, we have Gemara, and then our Chidushim are built up on top of that, right? You have where you have basis behind everything you're saying, and you build up and build up, build up. Doeg and Achitofel made towers that were flying in the sky, meaning they weren't based on anything. There were towers. There were literally towers of learning and unbelievable ideas that they were able to build up on top of the other, but there was nothing beneath them. There was no Torah behind it. There was no Gemara behind it. There was no words of Chazal, whatever they had back then, words of those rabbis behind it. They were making up stuff. So Doeg and Achitofel had Torah. They were unbelievable scholars, but because they had nothing behind them, nothing to base themselves on, it was all, I don't want to say not true, it was all Torah that we don't paskin like, and it didn't help them. I don't think so. I don't, not because you can use science and philosophy properly if you know how to use it correctly, like the Rambam. The Rambam was able to use it correctly. So I don't think that's what it's referring to. I think he's referring to specifically Torah, and it might have been that Doeg had never learned anything else in his life.
How but he just kept doing that.
Because he was an unreal posek who knew everything, who made even everything had a up. Photographic memory. Not that he made everything up. He had certain drushes that were unbelievable drushes based on nothing, based on absolutely nothing, right? But that was that. It's a very, very scary thing. Chazal say that, this is in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Daled, that on the day that Doeg was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, weird line, said, voy that I had to make such a person. Voy that I had to make such a person. It's ki'il, like he was set up for death before he even started. Yeah,
it's ironic that he wanted David Melech to die, but Hagag to live.
Yeah,
okay, and that was the reason that we,
because he said, "Well, I've rachamim on that, but that guy's more the Malchus, or he doesn't deserve to be in Klal Yisrael, or he's a liar." It's strange. It's strange.
Almost like he transferred, like,
it is very strange. And Doeg, the word even of itself, voy, he's sometimes called Doeg with an aleph, sometimes Doeg with a yud. Mostly the bad times it's called Doeg. But I have no idea why the gematria is the same. That in of itself bothers me, because there's got to be something behind that. But what and why, I don't know. But, and also the fact that it's Hoadomi and Hoadmoni, right? There's clearly a connection to that as well, and I don't know. Is there no spear or sword here? This is what he said to Achimel. There's nothing else here. I wasn't able to take my sword or my stuff, because the king's matter was so urgent. I wasn't able to grab anything. Is there any weapon that I can use? Hey, the sword of Golias the Plishti that you had killed in that valley of Aela, it's here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want to take it, take it. There's nothing else like it. You're right, there's nothing like it, and that's that. David Melech praised it by saying it was lucky, as an interesting thing, says the Ralbag, because there was a widely held belief that if the owner who used that sword was killed, don't use that sword, it's unlucky. Said David Melech, I'm fine with it. And he took the sword on purpose, even though Golias was killed with that sword. He said, I don't think it's unlucky, and that's that.
Why was the sword there?
Remember when David Melech, he used it, it was almost like a museum piece. He had given it to Novira Kohanim.
Why did they put it there?
I think because it was something that everybody would see when they came in. But remember, he did bring it straight to the Mishkan. The wording was Yerushalayim, I think. It was weird. Remember, the wording was Yerushalayim, and we were like, why would it say Yerushalayim? And we had to discuss that, right? But it's very strange. It seems like that's over there. Also, Yonas Menuziel says, Achareya Ephod is not where the thing was. Achareya Ephod means after he consulted the Ephod, meaning after consulting the Urim V'tumim to ask what to do, Achimelech was told, give the sword to David, to which he then gave the sword to David. And that's where we learned that he used the Urim V'tumim. What? If it was touching a dead person at the time when he died. And if you remember, we had two opinions. When David HaMelech had shot the arrow, right, there's a kasha, he might, or, you know, the slingshot, when he took the slingshot and got it to the head, he may not have died immediately. He fell down immediately.
Yeah,
at that point, the sword might have left his hand, right? Oh, you're right. He did chop off his head with it.
They could have been retired. Right? It's been a while.
Yeah, that's for sure true. Oh, I didn't even realize. You're right. He used Golias' sword was used to do it.
They're still officially alive. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
So chop off his head.
The knife, the sword will have already left before the heart stops pumping.
Maybe. Maybe. But then we still
he
count that as
he was holding the head and the sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some sort of tumor.
I'll tell you, aside from that, it's also very strange. Do you think David Rav would be able to lift the sword of Goliath?
Why not?
Didn't we say how big the spear was? The spear was 300 shekel before. So why would
the spear might have been?
Oh, so you said the spear was bigger, but the sword was not.
Spear might have been for show. Like, look at me, I'm
okay. Strong. But the sword was like a normal sword. Who? Gully's? Oh, Dove and Amelo.
Andre the Giant. Like, he wasn't like.
No, he wasn't wearing the protection. Remember, he took it off. He took it. Shaul HaMelech told him to wear the protection. And he's like, nah, I'm not used to this. So he took it off. He was by himself. Very strange.
So the yeah. sword was tummy.
The sword was likely tummy at that point.
So Afiyamalaf is...
No, so likely, he's right. No, he's right. He probably was Matar the sword. All you have to do is put in a mikvah. Well, no. Tumas Mace, you'd need the Paradum ashes. You need the Paradum ashes and wait 7 days. Likely, he did that. Likely, the Paradum ashes, waited 7 days, and that's that. And the Paradum ashes were by Afiyamalaf, by Novir Akwanen. Okay. By Yalkum David. So David got a Vayivrach by Yomahu B'nei Shol. He ran away from Shol, V'yavol Achish Melagas, and he went to Achish, the king of Gas. The Radak says that Achish's other name is Avimelech. Right? We all know him as Avimelech, and that's that. According to the Medrash, and Targum Yonasan says this as well, he saw Doeg. David saw Doeg. He was going to wait in Novir Akwanen for many days. He wasn't going to leave. He was going to wait in Novir for a while. And then he saw Doeg, and Doeg's like, and then ran away. You know, that evil little look that he had, right? And he realized, I have to get out right now. So he ran to Gas. And the reason he went to Gas is because he had to get away from Bnei Yisrael. He wasn't sure who was where and who were his enemies, who were his friends. He went to Gas, which were his sworn enemies. He had killed how many plishtim over the last year? Thousands of other plishtim, right? And the fact that he went to Achish, so some say that Achish's bodyguards were the brothers of Goliath, Madon and Yishbi Benov and the other, whatever the names were, right? And they went through. When they saw the sword that David HaMelech carried, they're like, that's quite familiar. They looked at David HaMelech. They recognized him from war. At this moment, David HaMelech realized that he was in serious trouble. He thought he'd be able to hide among the plishtim, but they found him immediately. He said to him, Nun Vav, when the plishtim seized him in Gas itself. Right, that's what happened over here. Bayom Rav de Achish Elov, Halos Dev David Melech Haaretz. Isn't this David the king of the land? Again, notice how they said it, the king of the land. He's not the king of Klal Yisrael because that's Shaul HaMelech, but he's the king of the land because everybody accepted him as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Halo Leze Yanu Bamacholos. Is this not the one that they sang with dances? Lemor Hika Shaul Balafav David Rebosav, that Shaul HaMelech killed 1,000 and David HaMelech did 10,000. So immediately Achish's bodyguards, right, said to him, give us permission, we're going to kill David HaMelech. He's the one who killed our brother. But Achish said, no. It was in battle, right? And not only that, but Achish was a noble person. He said, Goliath challenged whoever wanted to come up to him, and David HaMelech accepted the challenge, right? He accepted the challenge. He set the terms for the battle. We have no complaints against the fact that he killed Goliath.
He killed 200 people.
But that, right? So he said, the bodyguards, they said, the line is, then technically, we don't exist as a nation. Because remember what the terms were. Fight me, and if you win, the plishtim will leave the land forever, and you guys will take over. And if we win, then you'll leave the land forever, and we'll take over. That was the thing. So they told Achish, king of Gas, if you say that you're being fair about it, then leave your kingdom, because David HaMelech is the king of the land. Get it? Because he's technically the king of the land right over here because of what happened over there. Vesem David is a Devarame Elibovavo. He realized what was going on here. He heard what they were saying, and he spoke plishti. Vayira Ma'od, he was very afraid, meaning Achish Melech Gas, because what Achish, the king of Gas, said. Vayishanu is Tam Avinayim, so he immediately changed his behavior in front of them. Vayisholel Biyadam, and he feigned madness while he was with them. Vayisaval Dalsas Ashar, Vayor Rirol Zakar. He scratched on the doors of the gate and he let drool go down to his beard. Medrash says that on the walls he wrote, Achish owes me 100,000 gold coins, his wife owes me 50. Right? And it didn't make any sense. It was the strangest thing in the world. He wrote that over there. And Achish said to his servants, Hine tiru ish mishtageya. Do you see this guy is crazy? You're bringing this guy to me? This isn't David HaMelech. Look at him. He's nuts. He's just a red-haired guy. You guys are a bunch of racists. You see all red-haired guys. You think they all look the same. Right? That's come on. This guy's not. Chasam shugayimani. You think I'm missing crazy people in my house? You're bringing this guy to be crazy to me? Hazei yavol basi. Do you think this guy should be over here? This guy's absolutely crazy. So unbelievable medrash. This is in a sefer called Alpha Bezit Ben Sira. Alpha Bezit Ben Sira. David HaMelech went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are there crazy people in this world of yours? Why did you make madness? Why did you make, you know, mental issues within human beings? Why is that in this world? And he said, David, I swear to you, at some point, you're going to need it yourself. David HaMelech did not get the answer he's looking for from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem told him, you're going to need it yourself. Something's going to happen, you're going to need it. David HaMelech now needed it. Why did it work? Because Achish's wife and daughter were both super crazy. And they were fully meshuggah, fully absolutely crazy. And Achish knew exactly what insanity looked like. And David HaMelech was copying them with everything he did. When he saw David HaMelech, he immediately got, I don't know what you want to call it, what are those feelings where like you see something happening and you think like, oh my gosh, that's me? He's like, I don't want to deal with this guy. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Right? He said, this is absolutely crazy. I can't believe it's like that. That's why Achish got rid of him immediately. Didn't even want to talk to him. Didn't want to see him. And they were like, come on. It's David. It's David. He's faking it. Right? And he's like, no. He's doing too good of a job. Too good of a job. Clearly something's up with it. And Achish immediately got rid of it. And that's that. Radak says that they had a law in the land. Madmen, if you're crazy, you couldn't be punished. They had a plea of a temporary insanity. You could plead temporary insanity and you couldn't get killed. Therefore, they went there. When he got away, he sang Tehillim, Perek Lamed Dalet, when he feigned madness in front of Avimelech and was driven out, and he left immediately over there. Some say that's the reason why we sang it on Shabbos. I don't know why everything's happening on Shabbos, but that's why, because Perek Lamed Dalet, Le David Bishanoso is time olifnei Avimelech vaigor sheyu vayelach, etc. We say it on Shabbos because he was saved on Shabbos itself. Okay, there is. I'm sorry. And he died on Shabbos. There is another line where there's a Gemara in Sadi Heyamad Aleph and Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sadi Heyamad Aleph and Sanhedrin talks about Yishbi Beno capturing David and throwing him up in the air to throw him on a sword, and Avishai came and saved him with the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The strangest thing behind it is, I can't tell you for sure, but it seems from that Gemara that it happened when David HaMelech was already the king, not later on. Oh, did I lose? Okay, it's all good. But it seems that that happened after David HaMelech had already been gone and been king for a while. It doesn't look like it happened now, but there is a medrash that says it happened right now, right in this area over there. All right, what time do we have?
Oh,
it's 9:16. Okay, we'll stop with that. We're up. I finished it, didn't I? What is it? Yeah. Isaiah Yavol Basie. Am I missing any crazy people? All right, we'll stop with that.